Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now our guest is Doug Giles, and his website is clashradio.com. He's the co-author of a recent book called Would Jesus Vote for Trump? And we're going to talk about this attempt to impeach the president. And Doug, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Jerry, how you doing, big dog?
I've never been called that before. Woof, woof. I'm doing fine. Thank you, sir. And so just before we get into the topic itself, the book itself is Would Jesus Vote for Trump? Tell us about that in a nutshell.
Yeah, so, in the run-up to the 2016 election, a lot of evangelical never-Trumpkins were giving me a hard time because I've been an outspoken Christian columnist on major news portals for, well over two decades. Like, how can you support this billionaire with a tawdry past who's imbibed deeply in the superfluity of naughtiness? He's been married three times. He's going to flip-flop on us. And I'm like, I don't think so. And by the way, King David had a bad past. He committed adultery, covered it up with murder. Abraham committed adultery, lied about being married twice, gave his wife away twice, was a coward. Moses committed murder, ran from the law. Noah got drunk and fell down naked. And Samson actually did have a tryst with the Stormy Daniels, and God used them greatly. And I rolled the dice, and even though my crystal ball's been known to be beclouded, Jerry, I was spot on. Trump has not only kept his word, he's blown people's mind with how pro-Christian he is. And so what me and my co-author did, Brandon Ballerani, we ran his policies through the sieve of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we deduced in 400-plus pages that, Trump's the Christian's best buddy. He's ahead of Ronald Reagan in regards to his scorecard. And that's not just me saying that. That's the Heritage Foundation. So I think Christians who try to blow Trump off because of a tweet or something he did in his past forget that they, too, have a past, and they probably couldn't stand up to their own high standard for Trump.
Wow. And, by the way, when it comes to judges, my goodness, the man has a fantastic record.
Oh, yeah. And it looks like, Ruth Bader's probably going to be out, and I think Trump's going to win in 2020. And we're not even just talking about the Supreme Court justice, but all his lower court appointments.
And they're very important.
What I think's hilarious is that he's appointed more female judges, and that's not bad for a sexist, homophobic bigot,
Okay, very good. All right, so let's talk about the efforts to impeach Trump. And by the way, I have often followed in the last, I don't know, maybe two decades even, the Drudge Report, and I'm getting to a point where I'm almost beginning to think, wait a minute, there's an anti-Trump bias at work too much, beyond common sense. And I'm starting to think maybe I should abandon that and find some other source. But what are your thoughts on the impeachment efforts?
Yeah, me and you both on Drudge. I don't know what happened to Matt, what kind of axe he's got to grind against the Donald. But, it's pathetic. So you know what else is getting pathetic? The special report with Brett Baer. I mean, these guys are just, axe grinding. And they do it, passive-aggressive. But you can tell, they don't give a hill of beans for Donald Trump. And I think it's because he's an offense to the establishment and the powers that be. And he's fed both those sides of the swamp for many, many years. And he's no respecter of, their person, because he knows that there's a lot of people on the right and in the media, and unfortunately in Fox News, that are as corrupt as anybody over at CNN or MSNBC. And I think it's even more obnoxious and odious because they posit themselves as conservatives and those who have, a high view of our original intent in our founding documents. And they're nothing but big government, bloated people who cheer on the swamp critters. And Trump's a perennial threat
to them,
to their livelihood. But as far as the impeachment goes, Jerry,
yes,
I'm all for it. Try it. Do it. Because the more you waste our money and waste our time, the more families look at and say, look, I really don't get politics, kind of apolitical, but I know that these people are insane. that there is nothing impeachable in that Ukrainian phone conversation. And they're wasting our time just like they did with the Mueller report, which cost us, what, $25 to $40 million in 2 years of listening to them blather on about how Trump was colluding with Russia, only to find out that Mueller didn't even know what was in the report, and it was a big nothing burger.
Yeah.
So I'm all for the impeachment. I'm all for Ocasio-Cortez, who I call Occasional Cortex. I'm all for them talking, trying, Green New Deals, do it. Because when it comes time to vote, Trump's in.
Wow. Well, take the issue.
Insane, brother.
Yeah, take the issue of pro-life. I mean, the Democrats, just since the midterm elections, they took over in the House at New York State, Virginia. They've passed some very liberal abortion laws and even applauded that. Abortion essentially right up to the moment of birth. But there's not been an election since those, you know, pro-abortion, you know, votes and so forth. By the way, the same thing is true in the House of Illinois. These laws passed and Trump opposes this, the, you know, these pro-abortion bills.
Trump is, I would say he's the most pro-life president we've ever had. I think the first thing he did when he got behind that august desk where Bill and Monica had their little tryst was put the kibosh on the Mexico City policy, which sent, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars internationally, you know, to fund abortion. And I believe that was the first thing that Obama signed into to law when he got elected his first time. And I tell you, man, it's amazing to watch, because everybody told me, Jerry, I'm telling you, man, I could call names, a lot of them very well known, my colleagues that wrote with me over at townhall.com. They all said Trump's going to flip-flop on abortion. He's always been pro-abortion, you know, and which was a lie, because there's interviews in the late mid-90s to late 90s that he was pro-life, and then he took a decisive stance pro-choice. And then everybody said, aha, you wait till he gets into office and he's going to flip-flop and he's deceived his conservative base. And no, he hasn't. He didn't. And now I take my hat off to him, because he has made promises and fulfilled promises, much to the chagrin, like I said, of the GOP Never Trumpkins.
It's interesting, too, because one of those areas, I mean, I was just thinking about this recently. Okay, just within the last month, they had at the UN that 16-year-old girl dressed up as if she was 12, Greta Thunberg, and, you know, railing against climate change and, you know, you adults have spoiled it for us kids and we only have 11 or 12 years left and all this hype, which unfortunately is not true, but these kids assume it's true and so the sky is falling and so forth. So meanwhile, that very time, President Trump comes before the United Nations and he speaks. And what does he speak on? The problem of Christians and other religious groups, minorities in these different countries that are being killed by their governments. In other words, he talked about the problem of religious liberty. This is a huge issue because it's the number one abuse around the world. Human rights abuse is the persecution of Christians. But because the mainstream media is so anti-Christian, they don't report on that.
Right. And again, you know, going back to the evangelical Never Trumpkins, you know, I don't hear them stand up for him and cheerlead on that behalf. All I hear them saying, you know, we might agree with some of his policies and what he's enacted, but, you know, he does mean tweets. And that's another thing that I love, Jerry, is that Trump does mean tweets. He calls CNN out. He'll call Rosie O'Donnell out. Called her a pig and early on, and people said, how can you defend that, Doug? I said, well, my judgment is bridled by the scripture. And I look, you know, what would Jesus do? You know, that's what everybody asks. And, I found Jerry in Matthew 15, where Jesus called, this migrant with a kid that's acting like Miley Cyrus, who wanted help from Jesus, a Syrophoenician woman, called her a dog. He said, I don't give the children's bread to dogs. And bear in mind, dogs weren't these little cute accoutrements that the desperate housewives of Orange County take to the wine bar to get drunk with their poor friends when their little doggies all dressed up. These were mongrels, man. Back in the day, they were considered, you know, vermin and just like buzzards. They're four-legged carrion eaters. Wow. And Jesus called this this Syrophoenician woman, called her a dog. And you know what she did? Or you know what she didn't do? She didn't take up a hashtag campaign, fire Jesus, didn't try to get him canceled. She turned the riddle on him and said, yeah, but even dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, boom, good answer. You're healed. So's your daughter. Welcome to the fold.
That's fantastic. How about a comment about Romney? Mitt Romney, he's a bit of another Trumper.
Yeah, Pierre Delecto, man. I don't know if...
Explain that. Explain that for those not familiar with that particular reference.
Yeah, first I got to tell your audience and you, Jerry, I still feel condemned that I stumped for Romney, and just please forgive me. Anyway, Romney was outed during this flowery interview that I can't remember who was doing it. I don't know if it was The Hill or The New Yorker or The Atlantic. Somebody's trying to prop... Some liberal rag was trying to prop Romney up as the spokesperson for the right because he's so anti-Trump. And I think he got wind that he's going to get outed under his pseudonym Twitter account, which happens to be Pierre Delecto. And which sounds like what, a kind of an evil French-Italian chef from Trattoria La Cena or an international man of mystery. But what he would do, folks, is that he would go around snooping. He called himself a lurker. And, bro, I don't know about you, man, but at 70 years old, you're really lurking and you're calling yourself Pierre Delecto. I didn't like you before, Mitt, but that just definitely didn't sweeten the deal. But anyway, Jerry, he would go around anything that was anti-Trump, he'd like it. Anything that was pro-Romney, he'd like it. Anything that disparaged Romney, he'd correct them. And just weird, man. I'm a public person. You're a public person. I don't have any fake accounts. If I have a problem with you, I'm going to tell you about it, and it's going to be signed at @Doug_Giles or @TheGilesWay or just Doug Giles, and here it is. Deal with it. Who does that kind of stuff? That's just – it's so lame. And Mitt Romney, I believe, Jerry, Mitt and his ilk is why there's Donald Trump in the White House and why there's Bernie Sanders running for Donald Trump's job at the White House, because people are sick of clowns like Mitt Romney.
Mm. Okay, now going back to the enemies of Trump, and I do mean, you know, like in the impeachment inquiry and all this kind of stuff, there's a phrase that troubles me that I'm concerned sometimes. The phrase is, he died of 1,000 cuts, which means that he wasn't defeated in any one particular battle. It's just that, you know, this person was against him, that person was against him, and just slash, 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 and after a sudden, boom. You know, and could that possibly happen with Trump? We have about 1 minute left.
Yeah, I think Trump's a different critter. You know, he's not your typical politician. I compare him to Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds' character in that epic movie. We could also make him analogous.
I'm not familiar with what movie you're talking about. What?
Yeah, it's a movie called Deadpool. Every time they tried to kill him, the bad guys, he just kept resurrecting Lazarus. I think that's Trump. You know, this isn't Trump's, you know, again, typical politicians. Yeah, they're weak. They'll get thrown in the wood chipper. They'll die of attrition, you know, in 1,000 cuts, like you said. But Trump's an international businessman. He's been dealing with guys that are way more formidable, you know, than Pelosi and the squad. And he knows how to handle, you know, CNN and all these other clowns. Everything they've tried on him, they've ended up swinging on the gallows. So I tell every Haman out there, you know, erect your gallow, you know, tie a pretty noose. But Mordecai's not going to be in that little necklace you've woven together. It's going to be you. And I think it's, you know, he's not bulletproof, but man, what a warrior and what an example to men and women about just standing up to nonsense and just beating it down and just being a great counterpuncher to their lies, hype, and spin.
And we're living this. We're living this. Doug Giles and Brandon Valerini, Ronnie, wrote a book called Would Jesus Vote for Trump? You can get more information at clashradio.com. We're out of time, Doug. Thanks so much for joining us.
You bet. Stay rowdy, Jerry.
You too. Bye-bye.